This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, Place to Be Nation Universe, we are back with our WWE pay-per-view reaction show series, and we're here to talk about Clash of Champions. Not Clash of the Champion, but Clash of Champions. I'm your host, Crozone, and joined as always by my co-host in these shows, the Oracle of the WWE, Devin Hales. And Devin, we've going into this show, and this show kind of seems... I don't know if I would say like a lame duck show, but it does in a way because everything is so geared up towards SmackDown's debut on Fox. And today, the day of the show, announced during the NFL broadcast on Fox, officially that there will be another draft on starting October 11th. So, it seemed like this show just, I wouldn't say it seemed like nothing mattered, but it seemed like, you know, like I said, lame duck in a way.
Yeah, it's kind of a B-show pay-per-view trend anyways, but it definitely seems like that's the case even more so as we fastly approach what I would say is, I mean, I don't want to be too hyperbolic, but I really do believe this, probably the biggest change in wrestling in, what would you say? You know, 15, 20 years. I mean, in terms of how things are going to be in terms of on television and
absolutely.
Whatnot.
Since WCW.
Right. So, I mean, it's really does kind of feel like a lame duck period. Because, you know, once Hell in a Cell comes and goes, that's sort of the end. I tweeted earlier, no pun intended as I tweeted, that Hell in a Cell is an end of an era in terms of wrestling, I think, and WWE specifically, because, you know, obviously the week before Hell in a Cell, AEW on TNT and NXT on USA will have already been going on, and you know, they'll have already gone head-to-head once and whatnot, but, and SmackDown will already be on Fox, so, you know, they'll have their debut the Friday before, but that next week is the draft. And AEW and NXT with no suits to interrupt the 2-hour broadcast of NXT. So, you know, it's full on from there. You know, we've got a couple more weeks before the big change happens, and it definitely feels like we're in a waiting period. But I think tonight also showed that tonight was... in some ways meant to be that way, but also was a very story-driven, angle-driven show to set up for what we're going to get in the fall and what we're going to get for when the TV and whatnot does change very soon. So it was a setup show.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of talk about, you know, there's going to be new sets for the shows. There's the announcement teams will change completely for the shows. There's gonna, you know, NXT talent will be moving over to Raw and SmackDown, and this seems like it's gonna be way more of a shakeup than we've had in a while. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, anyway, that's the future. Let's talk about the present as we start with Clash of Champions and the pre-show, where we had Drew Gulak defending the Cruiserweight title against Humberto Carrillo and Lince Dorado in our first pre-show match. I gotta give it up for this crowd, man. The Charlotte crowd was into this match, and these guys worked hard, kind of sloppy at times, but again, worked hard. Humberto had some hot spots. Everybody looked good. But Gulak came out on top in the end, and in the right decision, because He needs to stay champion. So, yeah, a fun opener. One of the better pre-show matches of recent times. So, your thoughts on this one, Devin?
Yeah, this was fun. It seemed like it was kind of a showcase for Lince. He has never really had a title shot. In fact, I don't even think he's ever had a title shot before this match.
No, he has not.
I think he might have been in maybe one or two of those five-way non-contender matches, if any of them. I'm not even sure they've ever.
Yeah, he was in one of them. But yeah, he was in one of them.
It was really kind of a case match for him. You know, of course, Humberto as well, but Humberto didn't have featured a lot on TV in the last few months. This was kind of a showcase match for Lince, and he put in some crazy spots. That wild pay kick that he hit was insane. That was kind of the spot of the match, I think. He about blinded Gulak, yes, and hit him square with that flipping pay kick. But yeah, this was a good fun match. As you pointed out, the crowd was into it. You know, the finish was a little bit wanky. You know, it wasn't perfect. But you know, the ref was just doing his job. At least Gulak didn't viciously assault the referee for the match. So, had that reference in there. But yeah, it was a good match. I liked it.
There's been a lot of speculation going around about Five Live's future, and it's been hinted at that, you know, it could end up being after NXT on Wednesdays on the WWE Network. After NXT would go off USA Network, maybe come on at 11 o'clock. And there's been talk that they may end up, you know, integrating into NXT. What do you think is going to happen with the Cruiserweight?
What do I think is going to happen? Boy, I don't know. I think that they're going to try to find a way to keep the brand afloat, but I don't really know how they're going to do it. I think putting the show on at 11 o'clock late, I think the NXT fans will be into it. You know, I think it's a better setting for them anyways in Full Sail. But that's awfully late. You know, the 10 o'clock hour and the 11 o'clock hour, I don't know. Maybe it isn't to some people, but I think that that's a kind of a significant difference. I think it's smarter to integrate them into NXT and just take the Cruiserweight title over there. And just sort of disintegrate the brand, but keep the division alive. I think that's a smarter play. I think there's a chance they'll do that. But I sort of see them trying to keep the brand alive first before they do that. How, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how they play it out, because I mean, with SmackDown being moved to Fridays, I guess they could either tape it on Friday or whatever, but I mean, Monday they tape a main event before Raw, so there's really no time to tape it there. So, we'll see. They're in a limbo period right now, so to say. All right, United States title match made the pre-show. AJ Styles versus Cedric Alexander. Interesting that this was on the pre-show, but I guess it makes sense because this is like a last minute match. It was just made Monday, but this was a really, really good match. I enjoyed this match heavily. It was fast paced. Both guys wearing gear to support their hometown, basically. As Cedric Alexander was wearing Charlotte Hornets colors, being from Charlotte. AJ Styles was wearing the Georgia Bulldogs colors, being from Georgia. So that was fun. The beginning of the match was great. Cedric hit a Michelin Hooker driver right at the bell and got a near fall. AJ hit him with a sick brain buster on the apron. We got all sorts of fun stuff. Both guys look real good. Styles clash on the floor. But basically a match that went lower 5 minutes or so. AJ gets the win and clean the sheet, and the OC beats out Cedric after the match. So, it was interesting that this match was so short, but I think it added to the match in a way because of what it was. What's your thoughts on this?
I thought it was really well done, and I thought it was a smart move to have this match be a sprint. I think in some ways it made Cedric look even better to work the match in the sprint. Kept crowd going, did a lot of cool stuff, you know, fit in the drama, and I think It's better right now for AJ to work shorter matches. I think his 20 to 25 minute matches have been hit or miss in the last couple of years, to be honest. And I think it was smart to work this match at a fast pace and at less than 10 minutes. I thought it was a good move. And there's going to be more, you know, with this feud. It's clear that they're going to have a bigger match and a longer match, probably one that'll go 15 or 20, maybe at Hell in a Cell. Considering the post-match beatdown with the OC beating down Cedric after the match, I think we're going to get some more of this. And it's been a pretty well-done program so far. And I like the good deal.
Were you surprised that they had nobody make the save for Cedric, or you think that we're building towards some type of multi-man deal?
I wasn't too surprised. I mean, obviously the War Raiders have their little thing going on with Gallows and Anderson, and you could have had them come out. But it was one of those things where the beatdown wasn't sustained and long enough for somebody to run out. I don't know. It's weird. I know that sounds weird,
yeah.
But if they were out there longer, I would have been a little bit more surprised that nobody come out, because with one thing with Heyman's booking is you know, before, I mean, you know, you get faces beat up for 10 minutes without somebody coming out. Now, usually people are coming out to make saves and stuff, which is preferable. It's, you know, makes more sense when that happens. But in this case, I just don't think the beatdown lasted long enough. I can definitely see, you know, the OC versus the War Raiders and Cedric in a 6-man tag, maybe tomorrow or somewhere like that. because I said, War Raiders and OC are kind of in their own little thing too. So, but
yeah,
AJ and Cedric is definitely going to continue, it seems, from the post match.
Yeah, looking that way. All right. We start the main show with the Raw Tag Titles. Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman defending against Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler. And this isn't the first time Seth's been involved in this. This is the second time in like 4 years or so, I think, that Seth's defended two titles on this show. So this is not new ground for him. But this, of course, with Seth and Braun going later, you know, for the Universal title. I think that pretty much foretold what was going to happen here. Although, yeah, I guess it still came at a surprise that Roode and Dolph won the Raw Tag Titles. Now, I'm going to say this: I'm not the biggest fan of Dolph Ziggler. Believe me.
No.
You know, I mean, people that have listened to this show over the years, no, I can't stand him most of the time. Bobby Roode, I'm kind of, you know, indifferent on. But you know what? These two actually have gotten pretty good as a team, and I really don't mind seeing them as a team. And they did really well here, I thought, and they made the match work. I mean, they had good double team spots, they had smart tag team wrestling. They, you know, had this storyline with Braun and Seth, and then Braun gave Roode the running shoulder block, Roode crashing the Rollins. And then Roode hit the glorious DDT on Rollins to win the match. So Roode getting the fall instead of Dolph. Interesting call there. But I think the right call. So new champions. And of course, Braun walks out after the match. Said, Seth lost titles, not me. And he'll lose later. More on that later on. But yeah, what's your thoughts on the Roode and Dolph team and what happened here?
Well, Bobby Roode, or Robert Roode, is clearly the new number one contender to the Universal title.
I wouldn't be shocked. I don't know if I would say he'd get a title shot, but I would not be shocked if we got a singles match between those two on TV.
Right. That's what I would do. I would at least book a singles. I think it makes sense to. But, the match was okay. It was fine. Ziggler and Roode, I'm not into either. But, you know, you're right. They work well as a tag team. Good chemistry, good heel spots, good double teaming.
Well, you can guess who I'm putting the credit to on this. Bobby Roode. Oh,
yeah, of course.
Because, I mean, let's not forget, I mean, Bobby Roode is one of the better tag wrestlers of this era.
Oh, yes. Team Canada was a good tag team. Beer Money was great.
Beer Money.
Dirty Heels were a good tag team. Mm-hmm. The Gable team was really good last year. I mean, he's a very good tag wrestler. No question. Excuse me. I'm getting over a cold, so if I have coughing fits, I'll try to mute myself.
Oh God, I've been battling a coughing spell for a while.
But
I know how it goes.
Yeah, he's very well averse at the tag team style. So, and that's something that definitely fits him. Dolph is aggravating as hell to me, but it's a bit of a change of pace for the tag division, and I can definitely see them having some good tag title matches in the future. So. See where it goes.
And Dolph being integral, he's at least not in the entire match.
Right.
So that helps out too. So we'll see what happens. But there are a lot of people that complain about the Roode Dolph team, and what about your tag teams that have, been there for a while? People kind of seem to forget that tag teams generally are made up of two guys anyway that were not a team before they became a team. So, I mean, let's not forget the logic of this. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. Believe me, I do. But all tag teams were makeshift at one point in time.
Yes.
Until they got the time to become gel teams. And it's not like the World Wrestling Federation / World Wrestling Entertainment hasn't had a history of just grabbing two guys and just making a tag team out of them. Look at their lineage of champions, for God's sakes. So let's calm down with all that with this company. You would be shocked at some of the combinations of guys that have been tag champions in this company. Believe me. So, yes. All right. So that's that. Kayla got with Becky Lynch and asked her about Sasha, and Becky said that she's had the best year in WWE history while Sasha just dyed her hair. And so it's a good little promo from Becky, and she said she would come out on top. So we'll see as we go along. All right. Bayley up next, defending her SmackDown Women's title, Charlotte Flair. Bayley still does the Bayley act in her intro, but she's not as bubbly as she was before. She does still like slap hands with some fans, but not a lot. But Charlotte is still Charlotte, and she must have watched the AJ Styles Cedric Alexander match, because she tried to do the same thing herself at the beginning of the match, and it didn't work either. So. Yeah, this was a fine match. I mean, nothing really going on. I mean, Charlotte was taking it to Bayley. And then we had an interesting finish as Bayley was laying on the mat by the corner. She took the bottom turnbuckle off and put Charlotte face first into the exposed metal there. And Bayley pinned her 1-2-3, hightailed out of the ring, grabbed the belt, and ran as fast as she could to the back. So Bayley with an old Larry Zbysko style move here, taking the corner, the pad of the corner, and just booking it. Interesting finish. a sign of Bayley's going to the dark side, so to say. So your thoughts on Bayley and her cheating ways here, and where are we going with Charlotte now? Because this is an interesting way for her to lose this match.
Bayley basically worked this whole match like Larry Z. She stalled early, then literally got her ass kicked for 5 minutes, and then found the cheapest way to retain. It was actually beautiful. the match was fine. I mean, literally, Bayley had no offense, but like maybe two strikes. She literally got her ass kicked for 5 minutes and then pulled out some sleazy win. At first, I was kind of annoyed that Bayley didn't like change her music and all that. And then I'm kind of enjoying this passive aggressive heel Bayley, where she's still coming out with the blow ups and slapping kids' hands. You know, it's very entertaining. There's a nice little backstage promo where she was, it was Kathy or Kayla or somebody caught her backstage, and hey Bayley, you know, whatever, and she was like running off and, you know, telling her, you know, don't tell Charlotte I was here, and she's playing the character very well. She seems like she's enjoying herself. This was a really fun performance from Bayley. I think she kind of stood out here. Very story driven match. Looks like Bayley Charlotte's going to continue, and they might have a big match at Hell in a Cell too. So we'll see. But I'm really enjoying the character change in Bayley. I think she's working hard, and she's really getting the character down, and I'm enjoying watching it.
I think a lot depends on eventually how the draft goes and who ends up where. Because, you know, Bayley's technically on SmackDown. Sasha's technically on Raw right now. So I got to think they'll probably end up together on the same show. So I guess that means Sasha going to SmackDown. So, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out in the long run. But, for Hell in a Cell, I mean, yeah, I mean, who knows? They could do it up again. I don't see why not, because there's not like there's a no else SmackDown right now on the women's side single wise that's knocking on the door, other than Charlotte for a title shot. I guess Ember, but they just did that on SmackDown last yep. week. So I don't know. They seem like they're going to be together again. So. And the way this finish was kind of, you know, put in that way too. So, yeah, we'll see. But yeah, I think that this is, you know, there's been a subset of the fan base that's been wanting to boo Bayley, and this gives an opportunity, and Bayley gets to enjoy this layer to her character. So, yeah, it is interesting to watch, you know, this change in her character come along, and how she's portrayed it herself. For sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, next, we have more North Carolina as the New Day defend the SmackDown Tag Titles against the Revival from North Carolina. Xavier Woods back from his quote-unquote knee injury. Mainly, that was done to allow him to do his stuff at Dragon Con in Atlanta a couple weeks ago. He's big into that. I mean, he did this huge thing this year. Him and a whole group of folks. I know at one point him and another guy were dressed up as the Iconics, doing a video as the Iconics and stuff. So gave him time to get away. But yeah. So we have, you know, Xavier back and Big E, and man, this was a really good match, as expected with both these teams. Revival looked great here, I thought. They took it to the New Day throughout the whole match. Big E did his stuff that he normally does, which is always great. They got the heat on him, and he got the shatter machine on the floor. So Xavier come back, firing back. Dawson chop blocked his knee. Then they had a shatter machine on him, and instead of you know, going for the pinfall, they started ripping at his gear. Well, it was interesting because Corey Graves was like pissed off at them for doing that on commentary. And it set it up where they Dawson hit the reverse figure four on him, and Woods tapped out. I thought this finish was really good. Made them like killers. I mean, and then they cut this big promo, you know, talking about how the New Day was over with, the old school's here, them and Orton, this, that, the other. And I thought this was about the best Revival has looked in a while. So they're the new SmackDown champions. Your thoughts on this and The Revival. Interesting to see them get this much shine, considering their status with the company at the moment.
Yeah, this was a really good match. This kind of reminded me of, like, those... Speaking of Clash of the Champions, Clash of the Champions, kind of remind me of those old, like, angle-driven WCW tags from Clash of the Champions back in the 80s and 90s. What I really liked about this match is it worked old school, and it was a storytelling match with, you know, Xavier Woods, you know, his hurt knee, his bad knee was always in the back of, it was a big part of the story of the match. He comes in, has a nice face shine, has a nice hot tag, but they attacked his legs as heels do, got his knee, tapped him out, made him look like killers at the end. I also loved how they played off of Big E's spots and how the Revival cut off both his big spots that he was going to try, making them look like killers and making them look like they are prepared and we're watching the tape and we're ready for the Big E spear through the ropes and then counter the Big E belly to belly on the floor. It was all very well done. I love this match, and it wasn't the best work rate match ever, but it didn't need to be and it didn't have to be. And I was glad that it wasn't. It was very nice and a very nice change of pace to see an old school tag title match. It really did feel like one of those old like Clash tag title matches you'd see in like 91 or 92. I liked it a lot.
Absolutely, absolutely, I agree with you. Do you think that? You think that we might get some type of, I don't know, I don't want to say a split with New Day, but do you think there's something that could happen here, finally, with New Day? Or you think? I mean, I know we talked about this many times, but with this draft coming up and all these big changes, I mean, what do you think?
I just don't know. I feel like when they sort of teased it a few months back, it felt like that was the case and it didn't happen. Now they're not teasing it at all, and I feel like there's more of a chance for it to happen because sometimes they'll just do stuff for shock value. I mean, it's really hard to tell. That's always been on a lot of people's minds. Are they going to split the New Day up? I don't know. I kind of think that they should stay with each other forever, but, I'd love to see Big E in a singles program,
The main reason why I asked is because that Revival promo, it was kind of like they were basically saying this is the end of the New Day in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it felt like it, didn't it?
Even though we'll talk about what happens with Kofi and Orton later, but still,
I don't know. But as you mentioned, the draft is coming up in a few weeks. Very well could be a scenario where the New Day are split up via the draft. Might be what they're leading to. So,
yeah. Who knows? We'll see. And it should be noted that Revival is the first team ever to win all the tag titles, NXT, Raw, and SmackDown.
Okay.
I didn't think
about that. That's a good point.
Chad Gable and Jason Jordan did it, but with different partners.
Right, right.
So, Revival, the first team to have all three belts. Won't be the last. All right, next we get Alexa and Nikki back on a promo, and all of a sudden the boom mic appeared. And R-Truth was, of course, manning the boom mic with Carmella. And Alexa grabbed the boom mic and told everybody R-Truth was on the set. So sure enough, here come the goons to run after him. Only a handful this time, not as much as usual. And, that would play into the match as Alexa and Nikki Cross defended their WWE Women's Tag Titles against Fire and Desire, Mandy and Sonya here, and this was an interesting build to this match with Mandy cutting the promo on Tuesday about how Nikki Cross was ugly, which I know it's wrestling, but there was I saw a lot of people that took that the wrong that were taking that I would say took it the wrong way, but they didn't like that promo. They didn't like the fact that they went that direction with that. So, it is what it is. But anyway, the match was what it was. And all of a sudden, here comes the 24/7 crew. And Alexa even got a near fall on Truth as all this happened. But, the work here wasn't that great. A lot of the times, especially when Mandy was in there, there was a lot of off moments. Sonya looked good, especially when with Nikki. But Mandy got a missed the running knee. Nikki got hit to her twisted net breaker and got the pin. The right team won. They should have retained the titles, that's for sure. Alexa, I forgot to mention, had her Harley Quinn look going here in a way from Suicide Squad. So that's always a plus. But of all the matches so far on the show, probably the least of the matches. So what are your thoughts on this?
You know, I didn't hate this match. I kind of enjoyed that it was, you know, obviously these aren't the four best workers in the world or anything. Although Sonya's good and Nikki's good and Alexa can be good. But, you know, I kind of enjoyed that it was sort of a, you know, other than the silly 24/7 title interruption, I kind of liked that it was just sort of like, I don't know, trash talk and pair pulling and eye gouging and you know, Nikki, you know, getting the hot tag. And then I thought the near fall after Sonya and Manny hit the high-low was really well done with Nikki making the save. I liked it okay. I actually enjoyed it for what it was. But, you know, it certainly wasn't well worked in the general, you know, in the traditional sense. But I actually kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was okay. Just one of the greatest
in the world. Right. It's not the most interesting matchup on paper. Or and the build wasn't particularly great either. So, you know. But I was fine with it.
And Alexa and Nikki still together, you know what I mean? And Alexa's basically become like a babyface along the way.
Pretty much.
So, I wouldn't be shocked if Sasha stays on Raw and wins the title for Becky that we go in Alexa-Sasha feud, which is interesting always for a variety of reasons.
Yes, very.
So, I don't know if that happened this time, because let's just say that. But, I don't know. We'll see. All right, next, we got the Intercontinental Championship as Shinsuke Nakamura defended his title against The Miz. Sami Zayn came out wearing a neck brace as the Undertaker destroyed him in SmackDown. And talked a whole bunch of shit. Introduced Nakamura, who came out wearing this awesome red cape. Tremendous. And Sami decided he was going to do running commentary for the start of the match. Until they shut his mic off. So he threw it across the building. Miz threw it across the building, actually. So you got Miz and Nakamura. And I mean, it's a good match. Good match. Miz worked hard. Nakamura worked hard. They did well. Miz hit the skull crush finale. Zayn got on the apron. Miz started chasing him around. Miz got the Kinshasa. Then got another Kinshasa. And Nakamura retained the title. So, this is a pretty good match here, I thought. And Nakamura retained. So, Nakamura in this act with Zayn, there's some life to this. So, I'm definitely interested to see where this goes. So, what's your thoughts on the match and the Nakamura-Zayn dynamic?
Match was fine, but I really liked the Nakamura-Zayn dynamic a lot. Sami Zayn is an awesome heel. I think he's better as a heel, personally. at least as a character and as a, you know, as a performer in the greatest sense of the word, he's really unlikable and annoying and hilarious. And I love how annoying he is. It's really entertaining. The, insistence of doing mid-match commentary on the house mic is hilarious and awesome. He's great. I think this manager role fits him perfectly. And Nakamura has gained new life. He's had some really good matches lately. I thought he looked good here tonight. I'm really enjoying the act. I think it's a nice addition for both guys, and it's helping them tremendously. I like it.
Yeah. It gave Nakamura new life, that's for sure. Absolutely. And Zane, it gets him out there where he doesn't actually have to wrestle, too.
Right.
So that helps out. Because, I mean, the one thing we can say about Sammy, it's awesome as a heel, but he wrestles better as a babyface.
For sure.
So, there's that. All right, next, Raw Women's Title. Sasha Banks against the man, Becky Lynch. And this was probably the match of the night as far as the most intrigue into what was going to happen. And just what, you know, in general. And boy, they delivered. I mean, this was a very strong match. Both women just went at it. We got a lot of near falls, false finishes. Sasha had the bank statement numerous times. Couldn't get it. Becky with disarmer. Couldn't get it. We did get a weak chair shot to the referee, though. That was the finish. And
the way the ref turned.
I'm telling you, folks. I mean, the referee's taking that chair shot was so fucking hilarious. It was slow, and then when he got hit, he turned so slow, and then just dropped to the mat. So I'm like, oh my God, they're going to go with this finish? Oh, no. They started brawling around the building, and this was a great brawl. They went all over. They went all in the crowd. They went to the concession stand. They went back into the crowd. That was a tremendous way, I thought, to save face on that shit finish and to build up Hell in a Cell as a reason why they need to have a Hell in a Cell match. Because these women were out of control. They were all over the building. So the way you stop that is go into the cell. And, this whole segment was probably my favorite segment of the whole show. Great stuff here, all the way around. Except for the referee. But what was your thoughts?
Yeah, this was the highlight of the night. Great, great, great match. I actually liked the match like a good bit. You know, kind of started just there. You know, it was fine. The work was good, but it built and built and got really excellent. The crowd was completely into everything from the start. Great match. The ref finish was comically great. Bad, but comic great at the same time. The brawl was awesome. Mixed in a little bit of the Tupelo concession stand brawl with mustard everywhere. it was awesome, man. I love the post match. This is definitely building to, oh, they're not to be controlled. You know, they can't be controlled. They have to be in a cell. And if I were them, and I actually think it will happen, I think. Well, considering the ending of the show, but I think if they're, I don't know, I think if they're smart, they close Hell in a Cell with Becky, Sasha in the cell.
Oh, you're right in a way. We'll hold off. We'll hold off on that.
And you know, because I referenced the close of the show, but
yeah, we'll hold off on that. All right, so we'll table that. But yeah, this was really great stuff. So, props to them. All right, next we got Kofi Kingston defending the WWE Championship against Randy Orton, and this was what it was. This was a Orton Kofi match. It was a good match, but it was kind of pedantic in a way. I'm kind of tired of seeing these two face off against each other, and the way they talked about this match at the end, basically made it seem like that Kofi's vanquished Randy Orton and he's done. So we'll see. But anyway, Randy hit the RKO, great RKO. Kofi had his feel in the road, so he could get the pin. Orton then teased the punt, which he's done that, you know, sometimes, but he has not successfully hit a punt in what, 10 years. So the day when that happens, the place will go nuts. But he missed here. Kofi at Trouble in Paradise. Got the pin. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I mean, like I said, the way the commentary went was like, Kofi is over. He's done with Randy Orton. So, do you think that's the case? And if so, where do we go from here with Kofi?
Match was okay. It was good. It actually was, you know, well worked. It's a Randy Orton title match. I mean, sometimes it's great if he's got the right opponent. Like, the Christian series was a classic. But, I mean, I'm tired of watching these two wrestle. I was surprised Kofi won clean. I thought they were going to bring this sucker to Hell in a Cell. In fact, I thought Orton might have won the belt and then lost 3 weeks later for Kofi to win the feud, you know, in the Cell. But doesn't seem to be the case after tonight. As far as Kofi and being the champ, I think they want him to have the title going into SmackDown on Fox. But I don't think he has it by Survivor Series. I think a guy by the name of Brock Lesnar will be champion by Survivor Series. and I suspect Brock might be winning that title in Saudi Arabia on Halloween, if that were my guess.
Great call. I mean, that's a hell of a call. I mean, he's definitely going to be back. It is going to be interesting to see him on the non-Paul Heyman show. But it doesn't matter. He's going to be... Fox is going to want him on there, and yeah, it makes total sense for him to come back and do that. Because, I mean, I guess it all depends on the draft, but right now, I mean, the SmackDown side of things, there's nobody really that's there that seems like they would be the person to go against Kofi. Now, what I see of Hell in the Cell is I can see New Day against Revival and Orton and something. Maybe the Cell there. I don't know. Depends on what SmackDown match is going to be in the Cell. Because how many Cell matches do you think we're going to have on that show?
No more than 3.
Okay. So if we think that Becky and Sasha is going to be in 1.
I think that's clear.
And,
right? I mean,
and the Raw and the Universal Championship is going to be in the other one. There's going to be one SmackDown match. And now, of course, we still have the biggest SmackDown feud left to talk about. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where we go. That's for sure. So, but the way they made it seem like this was over. So
Yeah, they did.
All right. Street Profits were backstage doing their thing. They picked Chad Gable to win King of the Ring. They started doing the Lion King shtick. And then King Booker showed up to my amusement, and he was doing all the King Booker antics, and he did tell me you just didn't say that, and he got serious with the Street Profits, so you need to smarten up, but then came back and did the sucker thing. But the Street Profits, I mean, there's been a couple of teases that they're going to get out of that what they're doing. Yeah, the other week I thought they were going to do it. You know, had that serious look in the camera. So it's going to happen. I'm just curious to see when.
Yeah, the Street Profits are basically Heyman trying to fit in Pulp Fiction segments into Raw.
They're better than Lance Wright. But I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, you look, your tag champions are now both heel teams. Raw and SmackDown, so I mean, I would think they would be on Raw, so they could be easy to team to beat Rude and Ziggler for the titles for sure. So it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be interesting to see how that goes. All right, next we get no DQ, Eric Rowan against Roman Reigns, and this was your standard Roman Reigns match against a big man. Kind of worked a lot like Roman and Braun matches were, I would say. There was a lot of that going on. Brawling. You know, a lot of big man spots. Outside, you know, brawling. Tables breaking. Yeah, all kinds of stuff going on here. Roman hit Rowan with the crane camera. And had him set up for this big running spear. And then when he went for it, he got nailed. By Luke Harper. Yes. Luke Harper. who has not been on television in many months. He's back. Looked good, looking good shape. I guess we knew what day it was because Luke Harper's here. It's Sunday. And they beat up Roman Reigns, and Eric got the claw slam on him and got the 1-2-3 pin. Shocking finish here. This was the most unexpected thing on the show. Nobody had this. So props to them, man, for keeping that one on the wraps. And great to see Luke Harper come back. So now we got Rowan and Harper together. Brian, I mean, we don't know where he's going to fit in this whole thing, if he's still the puppet master or what. But, yeah, this is that was an unexpected ending to this match. So props to them. A rarity these days in WWE.
Yeah, I exploded because when Roman went for the spear and got big boot, I thought, well, you know, Rowan cut him off with a big boot because Harper was wearing similar gear. And then I was like, wait a minute, that's long hair. I thought, oh my God! And the camera turned; they did it perfectly because we didn't see. The people at home, obviously, you know, the people in the building in Charlotte did, but we didn't see it on the camera. So we just thought...
Thank you, Kevin Dunn.
Yes, there you go. it was Harper. I went nuts. I yelled Luke Harper, too. I said, shit, because... Recently, within like the last day or week or whatever, Dave Meltzer said, well, I don't know if we'll ever see Luke Harper on WWE TV again.
Fooled you.
This was one of the more legitimate surprises in a long time. I mean, even Sasha's return, though surprising maybe when it happened, everybody knew she was coming back eventually, I think, by that point, right?
It was known she was coming back, but I mean, if you watch the Chronicle on Sasha Banks, I mean, they kept her hid. She was in a trailer before Raw. I mean, nobody knew she was there except for Pam. Right. Her best friend Pam. and of course the people, the producers and all that shit. Sure. But this one definitely just comes out of nowhere. Absolutely.
I mean, I don't think very many people, if any, thought that Harper would come back.
And then he's an angle Roman Reigns.
Yes. Yes. When people are dissatisfied and displeased, and people are jumping ship, WWE decides to crack down and actually give people some leeway, it seems. just look at the Revival and now Luke Harper, for example.
Yeah.
The match was great. I really liked it. I thought it was a great brawl. I think it probably went a little bit too long, honestly. But I really thought it was an excellent match. I loved how they were building to, the crescendo of Roman making this mighty comeback, and then he just gets cut off by the return of Luke Harper. That ruled. This was a great match, great angle, great surprise. Gotta give the shout out to the pop-up powerbomb of sorts through the announce table. That was an awesome spot in the match. This was great stuff all around. The second best thing from an overall presentation on this show, I think.
Yes. Yeah, really good stuff. Really good stuff here. So, yeah, it's a shock of the night. So then we follow that with a Universal Championship match. Seth Rollins defending as Braun Strowman. And Braun just went all over Seth here. I mean, he was taking him from pillar to post. And Seth came back, and they brought the German announce table on a dive, and... Then got super kicked on the Spanish announce table, and we got all kind of craziness here. And then Braun did the Braun Superfly Splash off the top rope, which was crazy. Only got a two count, though. He's only done that once before, and it gets Roman. And then Roman rolled out of the way. So he actually hit it this time. Then Seth started hitting curb stomps. Okay, curb stomp number one, one count. Two count. Three, another two count. So Braun did something that the Beast couldn't do. And then so Seth's like, fuck this shit. Yeah, I gotta figure this out. So he gets a pedigree, pulls that out of the playbook, and then hits his fourth curb stomp, gets the win. So Seth had to do three curb stomps, then had to break up the pedigree. A move he hasn't used in a long time. And the fourth curb stomp to put away Braun. So Braun was made to look very strong here in defeat. But Seth retains the title. Eventually they're going to have to give Braun the belt, but this wasn't the right time for that. So I had no problem with that. But yeah, this was a fun main event. I'll give him that for sure.
Actually, this match was great. I think it was worked just the way it should have been. great big man, little man match. Seth took some big bumps. I loved the bit. Braun's bump over the announce table after getting tripped over it, and then those crazy bumps by Braun that collapsed the announce table off of the topes were tremendous. Awesome finishing stretch. I did chuckle at Seth hitting the pedigree because it's a pedigree, but that's just me. But I like that he had to find something else entirely. You know, pull that back out of his.
Well,
he hasn't used it since he was the
heel champion.
Yep.
As far as I remember, absolutely. I don't think he's used it since turning face.
Yep. And this is a great match. Great match.
Yeah, hell of a match there, but. The story is the finish, as we got the after credit scene on the WWE show, as Seth is standing there, you know, celebrating at the top of the stage, and all of a sudden, the lights go out and the screeching begins, and yes, it's the Fiend, who has been promising he was going to do something, and he did, and the place went nuts. He attacked Seth, getting Sister Abigail, getting the Mandible Claw. And that's how the show ended. The place was going nuts. So we're going to get the Fiend, and we're going to get Seth Rollins. And it looks like it's going to be Hell in a Cell. So what do you think? So now let's talk about it. If they make this match for Hell in a Cell, I mean, this has to main event the show, correct?
Yeah, probably so. I'm not a fan of putting this program together. I don't think it's time. I think that the Fiend, for one, I think he's... No, don't get me wrong. It was very well done. Crowd loved it. The ending of the show was excellently done. The Fiend character has been produced and booked very well up to this point.
Yes.
I question having a Universal title feud right away like this. I don't think he should be the champion. I don't think he should lose right now. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of it. I think the match would and probably should main event Hell in a Cell. You know, and it certainly will be the match at Hell in a Cell, and I'm betting it will probably be a Hell in a Cell match. But I question rushing the Fiend into a title feud right now. I'm not a particularly big fan of it. But it was certainly well done, and I think you are right that it should be the main event of the show if that's the case.
Yeah. But I think part of me also thinks we're not gonna this may not be a singles match.
Okay. I'm interested.
Yeah, I think Braun. I think Braun's going to be involved.
Okay.
I think Braun's going to be involved. So, if that's the case, then I can see that, you know, being the reason why it won't be the main event. I don't know. We'll see. But I mean, the Fiend is the hottest act in the company right now. So.
Oh sure.
They kind of have to put it in the top mix. I agree it's too early. But the one thing they've done is they haven't They haven't overexposed the character yet, and they've been very smart with this. They've been doing all the Firefly Funhouses still. That's how you keep this going. Just do those. And maybe have the Fiend appear, whatever. But, you know, maybe once or twice on TV. But, again, the only time the Fiend should have this full interest is on a big show and big matches and doing that the whole experience. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens. It definitely was... Everybody pretty much expect the Fiend to come out there, so it was coming, so... Yeah. And Hell in a Cell is what day now? What's our date?
That is October the 6th, I believe.
So there we go.
I think that is correct. Wait, hold on, let me think. Let me do the math. What's today? The 20th?
The 15th.
Yes. It is the 6th. It's the Sunday after the debut on Fox.
All right. So there you go.
So 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
So SmackDown's going to be the go-home show. The first Fox show is the go-home show for pay-per-view. Yep. So that's good timing for them, I guess. So we'll see what happens. It's coming up quick. So we'll.
Yeah, it is. I'll also be at Monday Night Raw live tomorrow here in Knoxville.
Yeah, as we record today.
That's right. There you go.
Yeah.
Tonight in Knoxville, rather.
Do you think that you're
gotta kayfabe the time of the podcast?
Do you think that the ruler of Knox County is going to be on Raw?
Oh, I certainly hope so.
Your king, the king of Knox County.
I'm excited to see the King of the Ring finals live. That'll be cool.
You know what would be interesting is if they did do that, to have the Fiend attack Kane.
Yes, that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Have the Fiend attack Kane. And you know what you can do with that? You can use that for future fire for an Undertaker match.
Yes. Yes, you can.
So
there you go.
Taker's appearing lately, so yeah. Maybe WrestleMania next year, you know, whatever, we'll see.
Maybe so.
So anyway, that's it for us this evening. Again, by the time we talk to you next, SmackDown will be on Fox. NXT will be starting up on USA. So the times, they are changing, as Robert Zimmerman was saying. So we will be back in just a few weeks for Hell in a Cell, and then we'll be speculating on the future of WWE after that. So, Devin, thanks as always for being my co-host on this show.
Absolutely.
This is Chris saying so long from the Peach State of Georgia.
Oh yeah! I'm going to take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm going to ride until I can't no more. I'm going to take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm going to ride till I can't no more. I have got the horses in the back. Horse tack is attacked. Hat is matte black. Got the boots that's black to match. Riding on a horse. You can whip your Porsche. I've been in the valley. You ain't been up off that porch now. Can't nobody tell me nothing.
You can't tell me nothing.
Can't nobody tell me nothing.
You can't get on your little Twitter and tell me nothing about this business.
Now this is something that's real near and dear to my heart, folks. Riding on a tractor, lean on my bladder, cheated on my baby, you can go and ask her at. My life is a movie. Bull riding and booby. Black Resistol hat from Gucci. Wrangler on my booty.
Oh, yeah.
Can't nobody tell my ass nothing. You can't tell me nothing. There ain't nobody gonna tell my ass nothing. You can't tell my ass nothing about this.
Yes.
I am going to take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm going to ride until I can't ride no more. I'm going to take my horse to the Old Town Road. And you know what? Damn the mules, just load the wagon.
Hat down, cross. across town living like a rock star. Spent a lot of money on a brand new guitar.
Baby's got a hat.
Diamond rings and Fendi sports bras with that cocaine on the side.
Riding down rodeo in my Maserati sports car. Not unlike the one that, well, never mind. Got no stress. I've been through all that. I am like a Marlboro man. You know, Harley liked him. So I kick on back. Wish I could roll on back that old town road to Norman, Oklahoma. I want to ride till I can't ride no more. Yeah, I am going to take my ass to the old town road. I am going to ride it with Lincoln Riley till I can't no more. I'm going to take old Jalen Hurts out there too to the old town road. We are going to ride all the way to a championship victory.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.